I'm Cardiff Garcia, and this is The Indicator from Planet Money. Today's indicator is $52,200. That's the average income of a middle-class American household, and it's barely higher than it was even in the early 1980s. And it's today's indicator because in the same amount of time, the average income for the top 1% of American households has more than doubled, and it's now at $2.4 million a year. By the way, we'll have a bit more on this data at the end of the show. This is what we talk about when we talk about income inequality. Huge gains for the rich and stagnation for the middle class and the poor. Now, lots of people have ideas for how to get middle class incomes growing again and for mitigating inequality. And on today's show, one of the most insightful economists I know on this topic says a lot of those ideas we've been hearing are based on what worked in the past, but they're just not going to work as well now. And he has some surprising thoughts of his own for what might actually help.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from FreshBooks, accounting software that makes running your small business easy, fast, and secure. For your 30-day free trial, go to freshbooks.com/indicator and enter indicator in the How Did You Hear About Us section.
My guest is Branko Milanovic. He's an economist at the City University of New York and author of a book called Global Income Inequality. Branko recently wrote this fascinating article arguing that economists who talk about boosting middle-class incomes remind him of generals talking about war.
You know, the economists are a little bit like, as they say, for the generals. They basically fight any current war with, the assumptions from the past war. So we are doing a little bit of the same.
Economists assume that we can boost middle-class incomes in the 21st century by doing the same things we did in the 20th century. Branko doesn't think that's going to work. And there are three specific ideas he's talking about here. The first one is getting people to stay in school longer. This was a huge thing in the 20th century. At the beginning of that century, most people didn't even graduate from high school.
The gains were enormous when you went from 6 or 8 years of education on average to 13 or 14.
In the 21st century, more education will still help some workers. But we're not going to see the average amount of time that people spend in school double again. We can't expect most people to go to school for 25 years.
You're bounded from above. There is a ceiling.
Instead of focusing on getting people to spend more years in school, Branko says we should focus on making the quality of education more equal for everyone. He argues for getting rid of some of the tax privileges that private schools enjoy and spending more on public schools. So, that's education. The second idea you hear a lot about is raising taxes. Raise taxes on the rich and maybe the upper middle class, and use that money to help the middle class and the poor. Branko says there's a few reasons that's less likely to happen now.
We are limited by two forces. The first one is globalization. You cannot really tax people as much as you did in the past because they are actually much more likely to move, whether themselves physically or their capital.
In other words, he's saying that if you raise taxes, people will either move themselves or they'll move their money. They'll just leave the country or they'll place their money in another country that's a little bit more favorable. But also, Branko says, people just don't trust the government quite as much as they used to, so they're less likely to support tax hikes because they don't think the government will spend the money well. So, we've now looked at education and at taxes. The third and last idea you hear a lot about is to find ways for unions to be important again. Their membership has been falling for more than half a century. And yes, Branko says, government policies have played a role in the decline of unions, but the government isn't the only reason for it.
I think the problem is deeper, is that essentially you have a decline of unionization in all countries, particularly in private companies, is because the nature of job has changed. Historically, we were in large factories. You have lots of people with very single, very clear objective is to increase wages, to negotiate for that. They are really a single issue constituency. Well, now you have, because you have many more educated people, you have a dispersed labor force, you have many more people in services in small units.
So we're no longer in the economy of the past where thousands of similar workers would stand side by side on assembly lines. Now, we're in this new economy where people are much more spread out. They're all doing different jobs in different places. And this new world is one where we're unlikely to see the same kind of strong union growth that we had, say, 50 years ago. But Branko has a solution to this, a way for workers to make more money even without unions. Here's the idea. The income of any company is split between the owners of the company and the workers. And the point of unions was to get a bigger share for the workers. But given the decline of unions and just the fact that companies are reluctant to increase their workers' pay, Franco says that we should figure out how to turn workers into owners themselves.
We really need a much more widely spread ownership of capital.
More shares, more stocks, more bonds, things like that.
Absolutely, because those things are currently extremely concentrated in the top 1% or the top 5%.
Franco says there are different ways you could do this. You could push companies to expand employee stock ownership programs. You could give big tax breaks specifically targeted at middle-class investors. That might help. And there's other ideas, creative ideas, that maybe we just haven't come up with yet. Look, rising inequality is obviously a really hard problem to solve. But Franco makes a compelling case. In the 21st century, just focusing on how much workers are making in salaries and benefits from their employers won't be enough to save the middle class. If the people getting ahead are the owners of capital, we have to figure out a way to help middle class people own more capital too. And then maybe they won't go another couple of decades lagging behind the rich. By the way, we promised you an endnote about those figures we cited at the top. I know a lot of the nerds are going to be curious about this. The average middle class wage of $52,200 is actually the average of the third quintile of income owners, and we got that from a new paper by economist Ed Wolf based on data from the Federal Reserve Survey of Consumer Finances. It comes out every 3 years. That was quite a mouthful. But the figures we used are updated through the end of 2015, and the comparison year we used was 1982. The same time period applies to the figures about the top 1%. If you've got further questions about this, email us at indicator@npr.org.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from FreshBooks, accounting software that makes running your small business easy, fast, and secure. For your 30-day free trial, go to freshbooks.com/indicator and enter indicator in the How Did You Hear About Us section.